What I thought I'd do today, and in the few minutes that I've got before we come into the Bible study proper, rather than do a news analysis as such, what I thought I might do, because looking at the news last night on the television, you'd think there was absolutely nothing going on in the world apart from Michael Jackson. And unfortunately, when you look at the news so often, there's an awful lot that is being hidden from us. And we have no real concept, obviously, of what it is. You hear snippets here and there, and you've got to go and ferret things out. But I do believe that much of the news that is actually coming to us is doctored, it's filtered, it's got spin in it, and it's becoming progressively worse as we move forward. Certainly if you go back 20 years, there was investigative journalism to a far higher degree. There wasn't the pap that's there on the news today. Certainly television news, there's virtually nothing in it. It's just completely, it's entertainment. I know Mr. Armstrong brought this out, but it's becoming worse and worse, certainly over here. I know that in America it has been that way for some time, but over here it wasn't, and yet it is becoming that way now. And what I thought I would do today is I just want to ask the question, you know, why do we have the news analysis? You know, what is the importance of the news analysis? And so rather than go into another news analysis, I think it would be worthwhile just reminding ourselves why. And I've basically divided into three areas. The first I want to talk about is the fact that we are commanded to watch by God. We're commanded to watch by God, and that's one of the reasons why we have the news analysis. Secondly, another reason why we have this news analysis in the beginning of the Bible studies is that it is part of the way that Mr. Armstrong implemented. Mr. Armstrong put quite a bit of resources into news gathering, and there were reasons for that, and there are reasons then that pass down to us today, and it's to do with the way we were taught, and I think we need to just remind ourselves of that. And thirdly, one of the reasons why we have the news analysis today and the specific things that we're looking for is that we are warned that it's going to be like birth pains. And those birth pains need to be watched, they need to be examined, and that specifically is being mentioned within Scripture. And it's worth just, again, going through some of these Scriptures just to remind ourselves of the reason for the news analysis. And I think this could then form an integral part of the website so that it can go reasonably prominently and people can then at least go through this and remind themselves of it. If we go over to Matthew 24, in Matthew chapter 24, we find in Matthew 24, verse 42, it's a command here. It says, "Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord does come." And the word watch we've used in the church a great deal and in the past, and in the area of watching world events, watching world news. And if you go over to Matthew 25, you find the same thing down in let's lead in a little bit in verse 12. It says, "But he answered to these foolish virgins, he said, truly I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." So again, these two indications are part and parcel of the fact that we do need to be watching. But when we look at what it is that we need to be watching, we need to put these scriptures together with another area as well. If we go over to Matthew chapter, let's have a look. I've put my wrong chapter down here. In verse 36, and this is just a matter of another 2 days, I think it is, later, as it says in verse 2 of chapter 26, he says, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to be crucified." And in so it was very, very shortly after Matthew 24 was given, after the Olivet prophecy was given, we come to this particular verse in verse 36 of Matthew 26 that says, "Then comes Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Just wait here and watch with me.'" Now that word "watch" is the same word that you find over in Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. So where it says in Matthew 24, where it says, "Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord comes," it's the same word. And it means more than just looking. It means be alert. It means be alert and stay awake. That's what it's talking about. And it says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, if not what I will, but as you will.'" And just as an aside, that shows very clear that there are two individual beings involved here, two individual wills. There's not some kind of one God that is consists of kind of a supreme mush of two half beings. No, these are two individual beings. "And he comes to the disciples, and he found them asleep. And he said to Peter, 'What, could you not have watched with me for 1 hour?'" So that is, again, could you not have stayed alert? Could you not have been awake, is what he was saying. Watch, be alert, be awake and alert, and pray that you do not enter into trial, into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed. So this word here that is being used is indeed the same word that is being used over back in Matthew 24. If you go back to Matthew 24 again, not only does it tell us here to be watch in the sense of being awake, however, there's another area as well. And this is, again, the reason for the news analysis, is that when you look at in verse 32, it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise," in other words, in the same way, "you, when you will see these things, know that it's near, even at the doors." Now, people have said that, oh, it's only talking about the heavenly signs. No, it's not. The context of this, and notice verse 38, is the day that Noah enters the ark. It's the events that lead up to that time. And just to make sure that we understand, the 1,335 days, you're looking at that is the start, that is the countdown. Now that comes before the sacrifices stop. The sacrifices do not stop until the 1,290 days. So you've got 45 days after that. It says, "Blessed is he that waits," and comes to 1,335. And it's a case of waiting and you're carrying on with our work. And yet here it's talking about this fig tree, and it says, "So in that way, when you see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. And I say to you, this generation will not pass till all these things be fulfilled." It's going to occur in one generation. And if you notice verse 14, it says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, then the end will come." Now we've seen that has already occurred. The gospel has gone out. Mr. Armstrong has quite clearly said that. It's gone into all the world as a witness to all nations. Now yes, we're going to have the two witnesses, and yes, there may be a work that is to be done before Israel, but the gospel, this verse has been fulfilled. That has been done. And when we're looking at this, therefore, it is very clear from this parable of the fig tree that it is an actual looking. It is not just being alert. And some people try and make it, you've just got to be awake, make sure you're alert. No, it's spiritually alert. No, it's not just that. It is that we are watching what in fact is taking place. And therefore, the news analysis is important to allow us to do that. Just as an aside, just turn back a few pages, Matthew 16. If you go back to Matthew 16, one of the criticisms that Christ labels onto the Pharisees In verse 1, notice it says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted him, desiring that he should show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, 'When it's evening, you say, oh, it's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, because the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can't you discern the sign of the times?'" So it's a case of watching and looking at the signs of the time. What in fact is going on? What actually is happening? And it is a close observation that is needed. It is not, if all we do is watch the television news, we're not going to get it. It is not going to be in there. All we'll know about is Michael Jackson, as of last night anyway. There's not very much else there. So if that is all we're looking at, that is a problem. We need to be a little bit more discerning than that. Now, another area that we need to look at is the fact that, as far as to why the news analysis, is that it is part of the way that Mr. Armstrong implemented, that God, through Mr. Armstrong, implemented within the church. And we need to remember something. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Because I think one area that I still get questions coming through, that not questions, but people do not seem to get it, so they do not seem to really understand this aspect. I got an email even this morning, somebody giving the impression that they were always on track. You know, the number of people that I've come across over the years that have said, "Oh, we've always been on track." That is, anybody that says that doesn't understand what the track is. Anybody that says that tends to be somebody who looks upon it as a tick list, as a checklist of individual points that they put down and they mark down and they tick these things off, and then they say, "Oh, therefore we're righteous, therefore we are whatever," or "therefore we understand prophecy." And that is not the way Mr. Armstrong taught us, and God taught us through Mr. Armstrong. The way, in fact, look at here in Matthew, in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, let's have a look over in verse 25. It says, "My soul, who is my physical being, it sticks to dust. It's all I am." It's like Job said, it says, "Behold, I am vile," he says, "I am mere dust and ashes. Therefore I abhor myself." And it was. That's all that Job recognized. He came to a point, he understood his self-righteousness, and he said, "Look, this self-righteousness is absolutely useless. Going down a tick list and saying, 'Now I am righteous,' is of no value. It's no value to God, and is not something that we should be doing. My soul, it just dust. You make me alive according to your word." And the word of God gives a plan that God has got. And it is according to that word that we will be made alive. "I have declared my ways, and you heard me." So he's confessed his ways aren't anything. They're of no value. "Teach me your statutes, your ways. Make me to understand the way of your precepts." It's the way of your precepts. It's not just the words themselves. It's not just a tick list that somebody compiles. It's the way of that. It's the spiritual way. It's a spiritual heritage that we obtained from Mr. Herbert Armstrong. "So shall I talk of your wondrous works." It's only then that you can start to really talk with understanding. "My soul, my being, melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying." It's not just lying, it's the way of lying that needs to be removed. "Grant me your law graciously." Let me have this understanding there. "I've chosen the way of truth." Not just truth, not just telling the truth occasionally, but going that way always. It is the way of God. It is the mind of God that's there. "Your judgments have I laid before me. I've stuck to your testimonies, O Eternal. Do not put me to shame, because I will run the way of your commandments." It's not just a case of walking. It's not just a case of half-heartedly going in a certain direction. You know, doing as much as you can your own, you know, our own way, and yet trying to gain salvation, trying to gain eternal life by doing as much as God will let us get away with. It says, I will run the way of your commandments when you will enlarge my heart. That heart has got to change. And that is, you know, it is the way of God. It's the way that we must go. Now, in that area, it talks about, in fact, let's just have a look back in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And you think, well, what's this got to do with news analysis? Well, it's got a great deal to do with news analysis, and we need to be aware of this. 1 Corinthians 13, it says in verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, I get all this great list of things all sorted out. I have all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, if I don't have this basic character of God, I am nothing. And as it says in verse 12, it says we see through a glass darkly at the moment, then we'll see face to face. I know in part at the moment, but I'll then be known, I'll actually know even as I'm known. That's in verse 12. But this passage about prophecy, even if we understand all the wrinkles and all the bits and pieces and we get all this great list worked out, if we do not put it into the context of the way, then it's going to be out of step. We've got to make sure that we do that. It doesn't stand by itself. It simply doesn't stand by itself. So the news analysis, again, has got to be according to the way that we were taught. And if you look at the actual the way that we were taught, the actual news analysis is not something that is fixed. It's not something which is set in concrete. It is something that we look at, and we've got to be watching carefully all the time. It's when Mr. Armstrong, the classic example I've given before is this example of Franz Josef Strauss. You know, people criticize Mr. Armstrong for getting it wrong on Franz Josef Strauss. But you know, if we understand and we analyze the news according to the way we were taught, and not according to a tick list that we somehow compile, we won't get bug-eyed about Franz Josef Strauss, because we'll understand we are looking for somebody similar. We say, look, how did Mr. Armstrong observe this man? Why did he observe this man? What was it about this man that was unique? Where in the present situation is there somebody along those same lines? And in the present situation, we have certain other things also impact on it as well. We find in Matthew 24 that says, look, you know, about the household being broken up. And again, we look at the church, the way that in fact we got it wrong. We thought it was going to come from outside, and the attack was to come from outside, but it didn't. It came from inside, from the top. And if we apply that, we say, well, okay, is there anybody inside from the top that in fact could fill that bill? Now, okay, Mr. Blair has been mentioned a number of times. Now, I would like to see more of his kind of genealogy. I'd like to see more of a kind of a Bavarian or Assyrian or something like that before I would certainly point a finger in that direction. It doesn't seem to fit. That particular individual doesn't seem to fit as far as I can tell because of that, the lack of that connection. But all other areas do. And he could well have a senior role. And it was the case that when Mr. Armstrong actually confronted Franz Josef Strauss, I think he actually put his hands on his shoulders, looked him square in the eye, and said, you know, I can foresee that you are going to have a major role. You make sure you use that role properly within Europe. Because he could foresee that an individual like that was going to have a major role within Europe. And it may well be that Mr. Blair, and he's got his eyes set on the presidency, he's looking at this super presidency, he's put this idea forward. he may well have a very senior role. I can't see him being the one, because, as I say, it seems to be an Assyrian. But we've got to watch, we've got to be aware, we've got to be alert, we've got to stay awake, and we're doing it, and we're looking at the news, and we're analysing the news in the same way that Mr. Armstrong looked at the news and analysed the news. And as the news changes, so we have to look and modify and analyse the news accordingly. If we just merely look at tick lists, we are going to be off track. Just the same way as if we look at tick lists in the area of righteousness, we are going to be off track. And people, so many people today within the church, and even people probably I'm talking to right now, don't quite get this. They don't really understand it. You go back and listen to what Mr. Armstrong said. You understand this way of righteousness. It's not just a condensation of points. It is those that are led by the Spirit of God that are the sons of God. And it is only those led by the Spirit of God in that way that are part of the true church, and that will be part of the true church at the end time. That contact with God is so vital, and it's so utterly, utterly vital. I can't stress it too much. It's that leadership by the Spirit of God in the way in which we now analyze the news, which is also utterly, utterly vital. That contact with God, and we're looking at the news, we're looking at it as the news changes, as the time moves on. We then look at it still using that same way, that same spirit, that same way that we've always, that we see within the way Mr. Armstrong analyzed it, and we're using exactly the same thing. This third point about we're warned that it was going to be as birth pains, and that is part again of the news analysis. We turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I tell you, I'm still jet-lagged. I really am. You get to sleep, and then 2 hours later, you're wide awake, and you stay awake all the way through to about 6 o'clock, which is time you normally would go to bed on the west coast of America, and then you suddenly go back to sleep again. The one that actually has managed to survive, that's Judy, that she's bearing up with me, that it hasn't quite survived the same, but never mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "The times and the seasons, brethren, you've no need that I write to you." Now, remember Paul, he got it wrong in this. He felt that he was going to be there at the return of Christ. He got the specifics wrong. But the way in which he analyzed events is just as valid as it ever was at that time and must be today also. So this again reiterates the fact that it is not just the specific thing that is said, it is what is the way in which Paul was looking at things at that time. How did he approach it? What is it that we must be looking at this time as we approach the end time? Because the areas of Daniel that talk about knowledge being increased and rapid communication are here right now, and they weren't in Paul's day. He says, "The times and the seasons, you've no need I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail, as birth pains, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be sudden. Mr. Armstrong continually brought this out. It was like rats in a trap, he used to say. And it is true. It is something that is suddenly, some trigger that suddenly brings about the end time. And it says here that it's like travail, it's like birth pains. The word is Odin in Greek, and it means birth pains. Now birth pains, yes, they come suddenly. If you have a woman that is fit the way God intended it, you get birth pains, but it suddenly comes to transition. and that sudden change from birth pains and cramps that are niggling all the time, and then suddenly into transition when you've got this desire to push, and it's a continuous birth pain. You're then looking at something that is sudden, and all the women smile because what does he know about it? But it does say this. There are signs, therefore, that we can be watching for, and they are to be something like birth pains. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because we're watching, because we're alert, because we are looking and analyzing the news in the way that we've been shown. You're not going to have this day come overtake you as a thief. And part of this is the birth pains. And birth pains come in waves. They come, and the waves get higher, and they get closer together as it goes towards the day. You're all the children of light, the children of the day, and not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, don't let us sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be alert and be sober. In just the same way as we were told over in Matthew 24. Now, if we look at Matthew 24 about these birth pains, what we're actually looking for, so the news analysis in this watching, we're looking for birth pains specifically. We find in Matthew 24, yes, it says, tell us when shall these things be in verse 3, and what shall be the sign of your coming, the specific thing, and that sign is the heavens rolled back as a scroll, if you put all the scriptures together. But Christ goes on about no man deceiving you, for many are come in my name saying I'm a Christ, and deceive many, so you've got false religions, and you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, so there's a war. You'll see you're troubled, for all these things come to pass, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines, there's the famine side, and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. So you've got four basic areas there. All these are the beginning of birth pains. The word sorrows in the King James is this word Odin. It is birth pains. And it is referring to these things that lead up to that particular verse. If we go back to Revelation chapter 6 and tie this in with Revelation 6, we then again see when we're analyzing the news what it is we're specifically watching for, what it is that we're looking for in that regard. Because in Revelation 6 it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. And here you've got false religions, the religious deception that we've seen right the way through the ages. And then down in verse 3, and he opened the second seal, and I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went another horse that was red. There you have wars and rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. Chapter 5, and when he had opened the third seal, he said, come and see, and there was a black horse, and he only had a pair of balances in his hand. There is famine. So again, famines in different places. You've got famine across the earth at different times. And then verse 7, he opened this fourth seal, and verse 8, it says, a pale horse, and the name that was on him was Death, and hell followed him, and a power was given that... So basically, you're looking, therefore, at pestilences. You're looking at pestilence, you're looking at earthquakes in different places. Again, the interpretation is being given by Matthew 24 that talks about these four basic horsemen. And these things, remember, as it says in Matthew 24, are the beginning of birth pains. And it says it'll come suddenly as travail, as birth pains on a pregnant woman. Notice what it says, and power was given to them, that's the four horsemen, over the fourth part of the earth, a quarter of the earth, to kill with sword and hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So it almost looks as if a quarter of the earth is going to be affected by this particular area. Not affected, but it almost appears that they're going to be, a quarter is going to die. Now, I've never actually worked out how many people have actually died non-natural deaths over the centuries, but I'd imagine it's probably nearer a quarter. if you go through all the children that have died, all the famines, all the pestilences, all the wars, the false religious campaigns and all this, it could well be near a quarter that has happened. But these things are going to become progressively worse as it goes towards the end. And you look at the epidemic of AIDS in Africa today, and it is a phenomenal epidemic that is taking place down there. You look at what's happening in the Muslim world and the religious ideas that are coming out of there, and the deception is huge. There's a huge deception in the religious areas, and what in fact is in the Catholic world as well. So all these areas we need to be looking at. The news analysis helps us to do so. It's doing it according to the way that Mr. Armstrong implemented. It is something that it has to be continuous. It's not something that we can sit back on our laurels and say, now we understand prophecy. Because the moment we do that, we'll be left behind. It is a continuous process that has to take place. We shouldn't be bug-eyed about prophecy, about news analysis and so on. That's not the big area. The big area says, you know, you get all these things right and you don't have the basic thing right, which, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, is this character of God, which is what God is, which God is love, God is agape. If we don't have that right, it's totally worthless. It's not worth anything at all. So putting the whole thing together and putting it all in context, it is an important area. It's a constantly changing area. And this is why, at the beginning of the Bible studies, we try and have a news analysis or something along those lines, and why we do, in fact, on the website, post news analysis as well, a written news analysis. It allows us to do those three things, to watch, to be alert, to have this same way that Mr. Armstrong gave us, God gave us through Mr. Armstrong, or implemented through Mr. Armstrong, and also to watch for these birth pains that are taking place. So I thought this would be worthwhile having as an introduction to the Bible study today, rather than necessarily going through a news analysis itself.